Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
City News.
It's 17:30 GMT. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. I am Umaru Sanda Amadu, and tonight I'm here with
Inu Safo.
And coming up over the next 90 minutes.
Indeed, over the past few days, we have witnessed stable electricity supply across the country with no load shedding reported anywhere yesterday.
President Akufo-Addo proclaims that the dreaded doomsaw has been contained. But is that the reality in your homes and offices? We'll be analyzing the position tonight here on Eyewitness News. Also coming up, National Democratic Congress, NDC, demands the arrest of MP for Kwadaso, who was seen openly giving money to Electoral Commission officials at yesterday's by-election in Ejusu. His party is defending him.
As a person who decides that he provides lunch for them, to give them money to buy for lunch. I don't know what is wrong with that.
And later on Eyewitness News, we'll tell you about the thousands of Ghanaians who defied the rains today to go to the CTFM and CDTV Family Consecration Service in Accra to seek the face of the Lord. Stay with 97.3 CTFM for more on this and many other stories on Eyewitness News. And in business,
Chamber of Petroleum Consumers reiterates call for National Petroleum Authority to review new price floor system.
That's in 50 minutes from the City Business Desk. Eyewitness News is live across Ghana on a host of affiliate stations. If you're in the Northeast region, you can tune to Nobia FM 98.1 in Nalerugu and listen to Eyewitness News. If you're in the Upper East region, you can tune to Eyewitness News via Quality 88.7 FM in Garu. In the Northern region, we're on Radio Gaki 88.3 FM in Saboba. In the Volta region, we are on Heritage 107.3 FM in Hohe and Freedom 88.1 FM in Sogakopa. In the Ashanti region, catch us on Adrian Park 99.9 FM in Nkawie. In the Bono region, we are on Greener 95.9 FM in Sunyani. In the Western region, we are live in Takradi on Beach 105.5 FM and Sky Power 93.5 FM. In the Takwa area, we are on Ajunpa 100.7 FM. We are also live on YouTube, live on Facebook, and we are interactive. Join us on WhatsApp 0549-986-996. 0549-986-996. You can send tweets using the hashtag CityNewsroom, my handle, at Umaru Sanda. You can also send your message to at City973, and the world will hear what you think. This is Eyewitness News broadcasting from our studios at number 11, Dr. Martin Loop in Adabraka in Accra. Is May Day, and we've seen the heavy rains in Accra. TUC organized a May Day celebration in Accra. The president was there. There was a specific demand that was made to the president by the TUC Secretary General when he gave the address. Let's hear that first and then get the response from the president on the position of power challenges. Let's hear that story, Eno.
Organized labor has voiced deep concerns over the high cost of living in the country, urging for a reduction in imports and an increase in local production. Speaking at this year's May Day parade themed Election 2024, the role of workers and social partners in securing peaceful elections, Dr. Anthony Yaoba, Secretary General of the Trades Union Congress, emphasized the importance of workers in ensuring peaceful elections before, during and after the 2024 general elections. He urged the government to adequately equip state institutions to support the electoral process.
I would like to bring to the attention of our president that organized labor, we are concerned about a number of things. The first one has to do with the delay in the payment of pension contributions to second-tier schemes. Currently, government owes the second-tier schemes quite a lot of money. But again, just yesterday, government signed an agreement with us, organized labor, that government is going to pay all the arrears. They are going to pay it partly in cash and partly in government papers.
My second appeal is about Dumsa. Mr. President, it is regrettable that the people of Ghana have to experience Dumsa again after all what we went through in the past. Please, do something about Dumsa.
So that's Comrade Yaoba, his Secretary General of the TUC, making that demand at the Black Star Square in Accra today, where the May Day celebrations were held. And there was a response, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. President Akufo-Addo has announced that the recent erratic power supply plaguing the country has been effectively addressed. Addressing attendees at the annual May Day celebration in Accra, the president expressed optimism that the challenges famously termed doomsaw are now a thing of the past. He extended gratitude to the citizens for their patience and cooperation during the trying times.
I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to all Ghanaians for their patience and understanding during recent temporary challenges with the electricity supply across the country. Over the period, the issues surrounding maintenance of transformers and gas supply have been successfully resolved, resulting in a sufficient improvement in power supply reliability. Indeed, over the past few days, we have witnessed stable electricity supply across the country with no load shedding reported anywhere yesterday. For the past 7 years, we have worked tirelessly to keep the lights on, and I am confident that the unfortunate era of doomsaw will not return.
President Akufo-Addo there.
If you're in your home listening to this broadcast, let us know if what the president said is reflecting in your home. And also, if you happen to be at work, even though it's a holiday, let us know how the power situation has been over the past 24 hours for you. The president saying there that since yesterday, there's not been any report of a load shedding. That question comes up. Was there even load shedding in the first place? Nana Amoisi VII is Executive Director of the Institute of Energy Security, IES. He's joining us on the line. Nana, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Good evening to you, Maristanda. Good evening to your listeners as well.
Good evening to you. So it started with the Deputy Minister for Energy and Board Chair of the ECG, Herbert Krapa, saying that the problem was going to be solved soon. And then the Vice President, when he went to the Eastern Region to begin his nationwide campaign, announced that doomsaw would be over in a bit. Now the president boldly states that the problem has been dealt with. The issue of transformers have been dealt with. The issue of gas supply have been dealt with, which means for the first time we are knowing the real reason for the power outages that we've been witnessing. And he says that the power has been stable, and indeed yesterday no report has been made of a load shedding. I don't know if you have personally experienced stability in your power. But again, the statement that the president made, what do you make of it?
The first thing that we pick from the president's pronouncement is that today he's admitting that under his tenure, there has been doomsaw. And so he made it clear in his statement that the load shedding that we're seeing is probably no more. He didn't say receding, but it's no more. It's an admission of the fact that there's been doomsaw under his tenure. That is one. Number two, to say that the issues have been dealt with is misleading. And we pray that the handlers of the president will rather lead him than mislead him. Sometimes the president looks awful in the eyes of industry players, the watchers, and even consumers. I'm sure any pronouncement that he makes is contingent on what they tell him. But he must be very careful. That's to Mr. President, because the handlers are not putting out what the issues are in reality. Omaru Sanda, the value is the same. We've just seen a bit of change last night. But if the president says that yesterday we didn't experience doomsaw anywhere around the country, that's untrue. I can recount some few places we check. In Accra, coastal estate sprinklers, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. in the night yesterday, Ningwabwadi, Lashibi, Tema Committee 2, 3, and part of Committee 5. When you go to Mankesim, we recorded some outages. In Ekunsi, Nakwa, the biggest community in Ekunsi, the most populated town in Ekunsi, experienced the result the whole of yesterday till the night. In Tema, again, Committee 25, Michelle Camp and Bechley, when you go to Weja, around the Western Mall, they all had outages. Even today, we still can't mention Oya Rifa Airport Residential, Weja Pantan, and a few other places. It means that we still have some deficit in the system. And so that's for the record. Number two, some of the power plants, key power plants that have been down over the last 3 months are still down. We can still mention Senate, Siemens, Bridge Power, all of them are producing 0 megawatts. Just since from the beginning of the year, as we speak today. The only power that has come on stream is the Anwansu thermal plant. It did generate about 95 megawatts in the morning, in the afternoon, around 84 megawatts. In the evening, the peak hour did about 93 megawatts. If you look at some key power plants, like Asogli, in the morning was doing about 335. A plant that can do something close to 550 megawatts. In the afternoon, still doing about 335. In the evening, Asogli was doing just closer to 400 megawatts. When we touch on Car Power was doing about 162 megawatts in the morning. In the afternoon, about 52 megawatts. In the evening, it's ramped up to about 339 megawatts. Omar Sanda, let's look at the morning total production, the afternoon and the evening. In the morning, it was in about 2,505 megawatts. That's the entire power system. In the afternoon, it then went up to about 2,651 megawatts. In the evening, performance improved to 3,521 megawatts. Omaru, note something here. Our system peak demand hovers between 3,700 and 3,750 megawatts. And so if at peak hour you were doing 3,521 megawatts, then it means that there's still a deficit. When there's a deficit, load must be shed. We are still exporting cheap power, VRE. It's exporting cheap power to our neighbors. Power that we can use at that rate to, you know, probably produce goods and service the benefit of the country, that cheap power that we consume the most expensive part of the power. Yesterday in the morning, exports was around 108 megawatts. In the afternoon, it went up to about 127 megawatts. In the evening, it went up to 145 megawatts, exporting to La Côte d'Ivoire, exporting to Togo, Benin, and to Burkina Faso. And so, my Sander, we still have deficit in the morning yesterday. We had deficit in the morning, in the afternoon yesterday, and in the evening we had deficit. And anytime there's a deficit, load must be shared. And so, the president cannot claim that there was no load shedding yesterday. Even today, we are shedding load because we are still underproducing.
The president said the gas situation, in fact, so he mentions or he attributes the load shedding we've been seeing to two things. The issues of transformers, he said that has been dealt with. Now, PURC has already told us that has never been an issue, really. Now, the issue of gas, okay, not that it has not been an issue, but PURC has said it is not as extensive as ECG has claimed. Now, the second issue being gas, which is what you can call financial problems, the president says that has been dealt with. Could it be that the president spoke a little too early, but the gas supply has been secured, and for that matter, the stability is assured, and that could be why he made the statement he made today?
Omar, we can admit that the gas supply has improved, but not to the extent where all the power plants can adequately receive fuel and ramp up to their maximum level. that's the situation that we have. For the transformer issues, please let's discount it. It is not an issue at all. It was something that is more like a small screen. We should not even bring it to the discussion at all. That's why we believe that some elements, some utilities are churning out the wrong information to our president. And that's very, very unfortunate. And we'll keep on asking for the head of the minister in charge of the sector, because under his tenure, the president make one pronouncement and does, come out as untruth. Who gives him this information? Who is the supervisor of the sector here? Is the minister for power and energy? We ask that the rightful information must be shared with the president, and we must be transparent with our communication as well to consumers and industry watchers.
Interesting, but what would be the point? Because saying that the power is out, or the power situation has been fixed, is something that everybody can attest to. Why would the president make a public statement like that? And again, I'm trying to repeat to you, I insist that maybe his foot is on something when he threatened to say that the power is stable. Clearly, maybe there's something the president knows that we don't know. You may be privy to some of the statistics and maybe some of the deals that are done in the back. You've mentioned to us all the plants that are not currently on stream, and you've also listed a number of areas that were without power yesterday. Could it be that that would be the last time? Well, the president suggests that the days are over and Dumsor will not be back. Maybe there's some information, there's something that's happening positively somewhere that gives him the assurance that made him make the statement he made, because his vice made it yesterday and his deputy minister also made a similar thing last week or so. Clearly, there's something that they are holding on to, don't you think?
Yes, probably there's something they are banking their hope on, but the present statement is premature because when we watch our own system condition sheet, it gives us a different impression at variance of the president's statement. And so maybe the president must wait probably the next 2 days and a week to probably give the full picture truthfully to Ghanaians. But as we speak, we still have deficits in the system, and so load must be shared. If you don't share this load, Omar Usanda, you're putting the entire grid at risk. There could be the possibility of not just brownouts, but a total blackout of the system or a system collapse. And so for that reason, UCG will shed off some load and seek to cover the issues using transformers as an excuse. But it's too early for the president to make that pronouncement. We must wait a little bit. We can also understand, at the start of the movement, is responding to the CEC, and so you need to give them that confidence that we don't have any other issues as we speak. But Omar Sander, we still have deficits in the system. The president must wait a little bit. And when full, the valve is open full throttle for gas to flow, then we can pat ourselves in the back that after 4 months of uncomfortable situation, even in the absence of Dumsor, we've come out of the woods. But we're still in the woods, and we must wait a little bit.
There have been demands for the ECG to publish the timetable. Consistently, the ECG has refused to do that, to the extent that GRIDCO had to report the ECG to the minister to say, we've asked ECG countless times to shed load. ECG has refused to do that. We've had to do an overriding and shut down the systems ourselves. Now that the president himself has announced that there's no load shedding, or the load shedding is over, ECG would still have to insist that there's no load shedding, or there's no need for a load shedding timetable, which means ECG will not do what is supposed to be done when there's a need to shed the load. GRIDCO, which has been overriding all this while to shut the system down to prevent a total collapse, do you reckon, because GRIDCO is again a state agency, GRIDCO may be then forced to stand by the president, and even though the supply is not enough, still let it go through. The demand being higher, a system shutdown could possibly happen, a total collapse could possibly happen, or you are sure or certain that GRIDCO will do the needful to save the national assets if it comes to it?
But over half for GRIDCO, they have been protective of the system, but for GRIDCO, we have had numerous system collapses or blackouts or brownouts across the country. We believe strongly that the system transmitter will still protect the grid and will not feed to any political, you know, inclination or political, you know, push. We trust in GRIDCO and we dove our hearts for GRIDCO. They've done extremely well. Even when ECG is trying to compromise the system and back the political actors, I told you, Omari Sanders, some months ago that ECG will not put out any timetable because they've had that backing from the minister that there won't be any timetable. And if you, Omari Sanders, or the NAMWC or PRC or any other person needs a timetable, go produce your own, put it on your wall and read it. And so for ECG, we knew from the very beginning that they will not do the needful. But thanks to GRIDCO, they've been watchers of the industry and they have been protective of the system. We strongly believe that they will still keep on protecting the grid. They will not see to any political, you know, overtures.
Very well. Thank you so much. Let's hope that things get better, as the president said. Thank you for speaking to us, Nana.
Thanks for having me. Again.
You too. That's Nana Moisi the 7th. He's executive director of the Institute of Energy Security. Loads of your messages, or tons of them, coming through. Let me take some of them. Zilis Duane, you're in London. I don't know why you're talking about this. He says the president is a failure and lost touch with reality. No, Zilis, I want people in Ghana to tell me what the power situation is, so you're out. Kate sends a message from Tema. He says, you can ask anyone around Kumbaria, Gulf Estates in particular. Yesterday, our lights were off for the whole day. His people are misleading him. Lloyd Bismarck Nazir from Abutia in the whole west area of the Volta region. He says, our president should stop. The words they are using. He says, Monday and Tuesday from 6 a.m. to 6:35 p.m. for both days. The power's off. So whoever told him that there was no load shedding since yesterday told him a lie. Maybe even this evening, as of 6 p.m., there's a possibility that the light will go off. Dogo Yaro from Adenta Commandos. He says, Accra is not having light now. Is it not Dumso? Richard from Glory Land in Odoko says, can I say the president has told a lie or was untruthful? Yesterday, the whole day, Glory Land, Odoko, no light. And now, as I write, no light for the whole day. Richmond sends a message from Apollonia and he says, there was power out from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. today, 01/05/2024, essentially 1st May 2024. The president was not truthful about the power issues. Alfred sends a message from Amasaman and he says, President Akufo-Addo has looked into our eyes and told us lies that yesterday there was no power outage nationwide. Yesterday, Amasaman Obeye and his environs experienced lights out from morning to evening. Change is coming. This one from New Adenta. It says, New Adenta experienced Dumso last night and Wednesday morning as well. The president was not honest with Ghanaians. Boso Bernard from Ashaiman says, please tell Mr. President we experienced lights out in the dawn. CZ from Adan says, there was lights out at Sege and its surrounding areas yesterday. And as I speak, light has been out in Adenta since morning. Evans from Gulf City says, I think the president needs prayers at this particular time. The level of dishonesty and disregard for truth is laughable. Some of us don't think he wishes Dr. Baumia well in 2024. We had lights out a few hours ago. Anapenaneku. Okay. Is Akufo-Addo really in the country? What's he talking about? Is Dumso really a thing of the past? Henry Fayol from Bawi says, please, the doom saw is not over yet. I slept in the darkness throughout the night and I couldn't even iron my dress to family consecration today. Akapo Jr. from Ahafomim says, the lights have been on for years and what caused the doom saw at the tail end of his regime? He must resolve it in order to avert the wrath of Ghanaians. Dr. Baumia must not carry your cross, Mr. President. Sigmund says, our lights went off last night at 10 p.m. at South La Estate. We are still waiting for it to be turned on. Alhassan Hamdan from Nyoini South says, which is which? His driver mate said Dumso will soon end, and the driver said that Dumso would never return. Joseph says, we are experiencing power outage at a dental new site since dawn. We don't know when it will be restored. John Bosco says, please, with all due respect, the president should stop insulting us like that. In fact, I had to travel from Odoko this morning around 12:30 a.m. to Adabraka just to sleep at my friend's place because of the light issues. Herbert Laye in Teshitri Bleu says, yesterday evening, Osu Night Market area had lights off. Abraham from Afinya Mataiko says, politicians are not truthful. We had light out yesterday from 12:15 p.m. to 5:10 p.m. And this morning, it went off at 4:50 and came back around 9 a.m. So these are people sending messages in reaction to the president. The president spoke today. The president was at the TUC organized May Day celebrations in Accra. And he said, okay, let me just let you hear what the president said, for which reason people were reacting. Let's listen.
I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to all Ghanaians for their patience and understanding during recent temporary challenges with the electricity supply across the country. Over the period, the issues surrounding maintenance of transformers and gas supply have been successfully resolved, resulting in a sufficient improvement in power supply reliability. Indeed, over the past few days, we have witnessed stable electricity supply across the country with no load shedding reported anywhere yesterday. For the past 7 years, we have worked tirelessly to keep the lights on, and I am confident that the unfortunate era of doomsaw will not return.
So that's the president speaking at the May Day celebrations today. Lots of you taking to lots of social media platforms and disputing what the president said. Eric sends a message on Twitter and he says, when I talk with the president, be honest with us. Instead of him sympathizing with the citizens, the severe hardship he has brought on us, he is telling us there has not been lights out in Ghana for the past few days. Son of Man says, in plain words, the president was untruthful. My lights were out for 12 hours yesterday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Please, why is he interested in... this one from Citizen Gasconi. He says, Doomsaw still exists. I experienced it yesterday and this morning. He should not mislead us. Nana Kwame Desmond said, my lights are on for days now, but still observing. My lights are on. So this is the first person. Nana Kwame Desmond said, my lights are on for days now, but still observing. Perez Ewenam says, Keta has been the Doomsaw epicenter for about a week now. Even this morning, there was Doomsaw. Now that the president has said it is over, we hope we'll sleep peacefully tonight without the usual ritual. Pakwesi Kingasti says, ours has been stable for the past 5 days now. I am still monitoring. Senior Man says, Tema Timber Market, our light has been off since morning. Failed Marshall says, very, very annoying when I read that statement. Resolved at the Flagstaff House only in darkness over the past 24 hours. That's what he said. More messages coming through. This one says, good evening, my brother. The president has indeed lost touch with reality. In Medina, our light went off at dawn yesterday, 6 a.m., and it came back at 6 p.m. So the president was not truthful. That's Abdul Razak sending a message from Medina Zongo. Carlos sends a message from Tema, and he says the whole of Tema Community 25, Saki, Bediakun, Ashama, Timber Market were all off the whole of yesterday. Lots of you sending messages. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. We are coming to you from our studios in Adabraka in Accra. Before we take a break, there were other May Day celebrations. When there, Eno?
Yes, so the Civil and Local Government Staff Association of Ghana has pledged to oppose any attempt to interfere with the integrity of the civil service and local government service by political entities. This declaration comes in response to mounting apprehensions expressed by CLOCSAG regarding the intrusion of partisan activities into the operations of these vital public sectors. Such interferences, they argue, jeopardize the fundamental principles of efficiency, fairness, and neutrality upon which these services are built. In an address at a Thanksgiving May Day celebration, Executive Secretary of the Civil and Local Government Staff Association, Ghana, Isaac Bampoado, urged all members to stand firm against any attempts to politicize their work.
A public perception of political corruption in all its forms, including bias, nepotism, abuse of position, capacity, and lack of accountability will be endangered, thereby weakening the effectiveness of these government services. Visible partisanship and overt disgrace of lack of professional neutrality and objectivity would be a criteria of the just expectation of the people of the Republic of Ghana. In this coming elections, the people of the Republic of Ghana should ensure that they vote for a government that will uphold the principles of neutrality, anonymity, and permanence in the civil service and the local government service. CLOCSAG will resist with all our might the invasion of the civil service and the local government service by political apparatchiks and guru boys, and the Almighty God will help us.
That was the Executive Secretary of the Civil and Local Government Staff Association of Ghana, Isaac Bampoado.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
City 97.3. Twitter at twitter.com/city973 and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag Eyewitness News.
You're welcome back. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. A developing story coming through. It has to do with Cecilia Abinadapa. You remember her, former Minister for Sanitation, Water Resources. Remember all the money that was found in her home by the Office of Special Prosecutor when the staff went there to comb or search her house. You remember all the back and forth about freezing her account and defreezing the account by an order of the court. And you also remember that after a lot of months of a lot of back and forth, the OSP finally announced to us that it was done with Cecilia Abinadapa. It was washing its hands off and handing everything over to the Economic and Organized Crime Office to deal with IOCO, the Madam Tiwa-led IOCO. After a number of weeks, if not months, IOCO, through the Attorney General, is announcing something new to us. It appears that the Cecilia Dapa case is over. No prosecution will happen. Hansen Ajiman is our court correspondent. He understands these issues better. He's joining us on the line. Hansen, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you, Sander.
So what was the new development that we are seeing in the Cecilia Dapa case?
So the Office of the Special Prosecutor is advising IOCO not to...
The Attorney General's office, you mean?
The Attorney General's office, thank you, is advising IOCO not to consider any money laundering investigations into the affairs of Madam Cecilia Dapa as far as the issues relating to the monies that were stolen and those that were found in her house are concerned. Now, this is as a result of a request by IOCO to the Office of the Attorney General for an advice on the matter. Now, the Office of the Attorney General, after considering the docket that was presented to the Economic and Organized Crime Office by the OSP, came to a conclusion that the suspicion that the money fell under or the properties in question concerned issues of money laundering have no basis. Now, the reason for the Attorney General coming to this conclusion is that if you look at our laws on money laundering, they are most likely hinged on a pre-existing or an existing offense. So essentially, for one to say that somebody has engaged in money laundering, there ought to be an offense where you have proven that the person has engaged in an unlawful activity and that the property in question is a proceed obtained from that unlawful activity or from the corruption related activity. And so based on the fact that the Office of the Attorney General was not able to make any determination or finding of corruption and corruption-related offenses against Cecilia Dapa. For the Office of the Attorney General, it is difficult to suspect that or to agree with the Office of the Special Prosecutor that there's money laundering here. The second thing is that the Office of the Special Prosecutor had indicated that it came to a realization that the issues were money laundering related offenses when it had a collaborative investigation with other agencies like the FBI of the US. However, the findings of that collaborative investigation has not been made available to IOCO, and so it is not before them to consider as part of their analysis. As a result of that, the Office of the Special Prosecutor is saying they only have information relating to the transmitting of the docket to IOCO and some statements that were taken during investigations, as well as some letters that were written to institutions like the CID and the banks in the course of the investigation. And because of the absence of the findings from the collaborative investigations between OSP and groups like the FBI, it is difficult to determine on what grounds exactly the OSP is relying on to say that the activities of Madame Cecilia Dapa fall under the issues of money laundering. And so, all in all, the Office of the Special Prosecutor is saying that there's no basis whatsoever for that suspicion, and it doesn't warrant investigation by IOCO. In this letter to IOCO, as you cited, the Office of the Attorney General, however, acknowledged the fact that, well, IOCO on its own can initiate investigations into the affairs, even though they do not have the benefit of the doubt of the investigation, the benefit of the investigations that have been carried out by the OSP and the FBI. IOCO on its own mandate can also initiate similar investigations. That is a point that the Office of the Attorney General acknowledges. However, the office was quick to indicate that the Office of the Special Prosecutor has already directed the Ghana Police Service to investigate issues relating to the sources of funds that were stolen from the house of Cecilia Dapa and also that were seized or found in her home. As a result, the Office of the Attorney General thought it wise to advise the IOCO not to undertake any investigations, as in the view of the office, will be unnecessary for the for IOCO to investigate the issues when the CID has been seized with the same mandate, with same facts.
Does it then mean that the investigation is over, there will be no prosecution from all the quarters, or at least we could expect something from the police service?
Well, so what it means is that the police is still doing its investigations, and from what we get from here, it appears the Office of the Attorney General is not yet seized with the outcome of the investigations from the police CID.
But what it means, Hansen, is that OSP has shut the docket or shut the door on Cecilia Dapa. IOCO has also shut the door on Cecilia Dapa. The only door that is still opened by half, maybe, is the police door. And we don't know what that door is going to bring up yet, whether that would also be shut or...
Essentially, what you're saying may be right, but we also ought to look at the fact that this is an advice. And so even though the Office of the Attorney General is a principal legal advisor of the state and by extension all state agencies and institutions, including the IOCO, an advice in itself is not binding. And so if IOCO, after considering this advice, thinks otherwise, they may decide to continue with their investigations or not. But rightly so, where investigations have begun endlessly is with the CID, because from what we've gotten from the response, it looks as though IOCO itself was waiting for this advice from the Attorney General to decide on whether to investigate and how to carry out its investigation. considering the fact that the Attorney General has now indicated that there's no need for Yoko to do this investigation, it may be difficult for them to say that they will go ahead with the investigation.
Thank you so much for speaking to us. That's Hansen Ajiman, our court correspondent, speaking to us. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. We are coming to you from our studios in Adabraka, in Accra. We are also around the globe on citynewsroom.com. We are on YouTube. We are on CityTube. That is the name of our channel. We are also on Facebook. Let's move to the western part of Accra, the central region. There was a shooting incident yesterday. A military officer in military uniform was shot dead. What are the details? Calvis Tete is our correspondent in the central region. He's joined us on the line. Calvis, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you, Sander.
Who killed this soldier based on all the information you've gathered, and why was he killed?
Well, Sander, at around 4:45, thereabout, late in the evening of yesterday, we heard news to the fact that a military officer has been shot around Millennium City in the Goma East District of the central region. What we heard was that the military officer, there were three in number, they had gone to a piece of land, a half plot of land around Millennium City, which was, the land belonged to one of the police officers, military officers, sorry. So in the company of two of his other colleagues, they went there after hearing that there are some land guards on the land trying to terrorize persons who were working on the land. And so they went there to try and then move these land guards from the land. But that didn't work. And then the land guards also retaliated by engaging in physical assault with the military officers. So the military officers, upon sensing that the situation was getting a bit worse, returned to the district police command, where they have gone there earlier to lodge complaint of land guards activities on the said piece of land. So the military officers had to return to the Millennium City district police command just to report, to make another complaint of land guard issues on the land. While they were going, the owner, the individual who was fighting with them over the land, he's called Ben Lord Abebio. He approached the military officers and asked them why they were going to the police station to even lodge complaint. So one of the officers who was in the company of the other military officer said no, he still had to go to the police station. So quickly he went into the vehicle, a private vehicle, RAV4, Toyota RAV4 vehicle. He is called Danso Michael. He is a deceased military officer. He went into the RAV4 Toyota vehicle and decided to head to the police station. But then Ben Lord Abebio, who is the Jasihini of Millennium City, for some reasons we don't know, he fired at the vehicle, trying to prevent the officer from going to the police station. He fired about 8 rounds of ammunition, from what we hear from the police. And so one hit the officer in the vehicle, on the driver's seat of the vehicle, killing him instantly. Sander. And, you know, this thing happened just in front of the Millennium City District Police Command, just around that area that this incident happened. You know, so people were raising questions as to what would have pushed this individual to have gone to the extent of killing someone just in front of the police station without giving recourse to the law. And people around are afraid for their life, you know, having in mind the incident that has happened in Ashaiman, where military officers trooped the area and then allegedly assaulted people after a military man was assaulted. But I went to the area this morning to see what is happening. You could see that there was fear on the faces of residents who live around that area. As of this morning, when I went there, the officers from the military high command had come there earlier yesterday. And then this morning when I got there, I saw the forensic department from the police headquarters also on the scene trying to, pick so that they can use to gather their issues in court, Sander. Mm. So if you ask me, this is what is happening.
I see. Very sad situation there. So over the past 24 hours, what have been the actions from the Ghana Police Service and the Ghana Armed Forces?
Well Sander, we have a statement from the Ghana Armed Forces condemning the act. That statement is saying that the individuals who engage in this act are land guards. And the statement is signed by Brigadier General Agri Kwashi of the Ghana Armed Forces, and the statement, some portions of the statement read that the military men were unarmed. They were just going to a piece of land belonging to one of the officers to go and then work, and then these land guards attacked them, killing one instantly. A similar statement also comes from the police, which has been signed by Grace Ansah Kofi, Assistant Commissioner of Police, Director of Public Affairs. also condemning the same incident that happened. They are saying that one person has been arrested, that is Ben Lord Abebiu. He has been arrested and is at the police headquarters pending further investigation, Sanda. But, you know, residents of Kasua are also asking questions as to why an individual would have the nerve to fire just in front of the police station without giving recourse to the law. They are saying they believe that the police should be up and doing in terms of fighting land guard issues, because if a land guard or a chief, a supposed chief, would go out there and then fire and kill a military officer in uniform who was not armed, then what happens to individuals who are living in Kasua? You know, they have raised questions, but the police have brought the situation under control here. So as we speak now, I mean, the forensic people from the police headquarters have come to the scene. They have taken whatever evidence they need. I'm sure by this time they should be heading to Accra, Sanda.
This gentleman who was arrested, do we know much about him? You said he's a Jassi Hini, is that what you said?
Yes, he's a Jassi Hini of Millennium City. He's called Ben Lord Abebiu. He's a Jassi Hini of Millennium City, so he owns that area. But you know, that Millennium City area, there's a bit of litigation there. There are a lot of chiefs in that area. So that brings to mind land litigation issues in this part of the central region, particularly Kasua, which always comes to mind, land guard issues, among others. You know, to the extent that some residents are even afraid, some persons are even afraid to buy pieces of land in Kasua for fear of land guard activities. According to information we have gathered, the said piece of land was sold to the military officers by one Asma. And so Ben Lord Abebiu also is saying that he also owns that portion of land. So that is where the litigation is coming from. And that is how come it has led to the death of one deceased military officer, Sanda.
Thank you so much for speaking to us. Calvis Tete is our correspondent in the Central Region, summarizing for us events between yesterday and today at Millennium City in Kasua in the Central Region, where a soldier was shot dead by an individual, and this happened right in front of a police station. The police issued a statement that the gentleman has been arrested. Investigations are continuing. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. Talking about what happened yesterday, there was a by-election yesterday. And after that by-election, during that by-election, we saw a video in which a member of parliament was giving an envelope to Electoral Commission staff. Later in the evening, the Electoral Commission said to us that that envelope contained money, and that the money in that envelope was meant for lunch or to be used for lunch by these officers. Now, the EC did not mention the name of the person in that particular video, but we do know who it is. It's the MP for Kwada. So
yes,
Kingsley Nyako. 24 hours on what has been happening on that story.
The governing New Patriotic Party has jumped to the defense of the under fire member of parliament for Kwada, so Kingsley Nyako, who was captured on camera giving money to officials of the Electoral Commission during yesterday's by election. The NPP says the MP was only being generous to the staff of the commission. Haruna Mohammed is Deputy General Secretary of the NPP, and he has been speaking to City News.
There is a lot of talk around it, but not even an issue, because this is very clarified. It is self-explanatory. The person asks the officers on duty whether they have eaten, and as a person, he decides that he provides lunch for them. He gave them money to buy for lunch. I don't know what is wrong with that. You, in the past, political parties, even when they cook food for their agents in either registration or voting, give some of the food to the security and the electoral officers. If this has happened in terms of somebody finding out that they have not taken lunch and he says, oh, okay, I will provide you lunch and give them an envelope in an open, not in a dark place, not a hidden place, not any other place, but in the open space. I don't think that it is a matter that we should be debating at all.
Deputy General Secretary of the NPP, Haruna Mohammed. The opposition National Democratic Congress is calling for the immediate arrest of the Member of Parliament for Kwada, so Kingsley Nyako. During the Ejusu by-election, the lawmaker was captured on camera giving an envelope to two Electoral Commission officials at a voting centre. The Electoral Commission has said its investigations have revealed the money given to the staff by the MP was meant for lunch. However, in an interview with City News, the Deputy General Secretary of the National Democratic Congress, Mustafa Gbande, expressed his utmost surprise that the legislator continues to walk freely.
We are calling on the Ghana Police Service to immediately arrest the suspected bribe giver who is a member of parliament. it is quite shameful that a lawmaker will be bribing a public officer performing his or her duty. And up to date, he is working. We cannot apply the law selectively depending on the individual involved. Whether you are the president, it's a law. The man is bribed. And there was a poor electoral commission officer who accept bribe because the economy is very difficult and she's broke. She doesn't have money. Even with very corrupt government, she's accepting bribe. And then we are punishing her and leaving the corrupt or the suspected criminal who is giving bribe, a lawmaker of water.
That was the Deputy General Secretary of the National Democratic Congress, Mustapha Gbande. The 2024 edition of the Family Consecration Service ended with patrons described the six-hour prayer and worship service aimed at building the family as an exceptional one. There's more in this report, filed by City News' Anne Shirley Zhu.
The six-hour program, which started at 6 a.m., saw families defying the heavy rains and trooping in their numbers to pray, seek God's guidance, protection and blessings for the rest of the year. Despite the downpour on Wednesday morning, the Oyo Dome, Royal House Chapel, the venue for this year's service, was not only filled to capacity, but had a spiritually charged atmosphere. Patrons were taken through prayer sessions for various aspects of family life, including progress, growth, finances, health, marriages, revival of broken homes, among others. Seasoned and anointed men of God, including Reverend Fred Mark Davis, Reverend Mauli Chikata, Reverend Foster Mauli Benson, Reverend Nelson Awintia, and Reverend Michael Nogbewonu, led the congregation through fervent intercessory prayers. The Evergreen Cedar Mountain Choir, together with gospel musician Sisi Beidou, took patrons through multiple times of praise and worship. Reverend Dr. Stephen Wingham, the General Superintendent of Assemblies of God Ghana and Vice Chairman of the Assemblies of God Alliance, led patrons to pray for the country as we inched closer to the December polls. In a heartwarming display of faith and love, couples were led to reaffirm and renew their vows and commitments to each other in the divine presence of God.
Amen. Love your wives the way Jesus loved us when we were sinners. Bible didn't say love your wife because she obeys you. No, husbands, die for your wives more. Husbands, I say what? Die for your wives small. Now face your wife. In the tale of the woman, woman, look into your husband's face and say, my darling, it is still I do. On this occasion, I want to tell you, I love you so much. I promise to submit to you, to obey you, to honor you as the king of our home, as the father of our children. Whatever pain I've caused you, please forgive me. It is still
for better and for worse. Wives, kiss your husbands and salute your husband. So give them fans.
Some patrons who tagged the family consecration service as an experience never to forget promised to participate next year.
City has been my station, I mean both TV and radio. This is my second time being here. I'm blessed and I will encourage everyone to be around. It's been a blessing to the whole family. I mean, from the morning prayers to everything. I haven't been going to church for some time now, but the prayers help us a lot.
We really enjoyed ourselves. It's really a good program. I encourage everybody to be here next year, God willing. It's really inspiring. Everything was on point. The prayer session, worship and praises, everything was excellent. That's all I can say. I'm overwhelmed, actually. Yeah, to be here. This is our first time, actually, and really enjoyed ourselves.
Will you be here next year?
Surely. By the grace of God, I can't afford to miss this. Kudos to the team and City TV and City FM. We are really doing well.
Oh, it went well. I feel blessed for being here, and I'm willing to come back next year.
What were your expectations coming in? Have they been met in any way?
Yes, they have. When I was coming, I felt I had a lot of burdens, but right now I feel lighter. I'm okay. I feel fine.
Will you be here next year?
Yes, of course. I will.
Reverend Mauli Chikata, a member of the pastoral team of City TV and City FM, who described the service as a success, underscored the need for congregational prayers, especially in this election year.
So if as a nation we are going to an election and we are having families gathered together, this is a representation of Ghana. People came from all 16 regions of Ghana across the nation, gathering together, praying for their families. And we cannot forget where we belong, which is Ghana. Without a peaceful nation, without a prosperous nation, without a great nation, whatever we do as families will be in vain. So first of all, we need to secure our nation. And then whatever blessing there is in the nation for us, families can enjoy of it. That's why the Family Consecration Service, we dedicated time to pray for our nation Ghana, because it takes families to make a nation.
City News' Anne Shirley Zhu filed that report.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
Get the details. Every significant financial transaction, every market movement, and all the policies that affect your business. City Business News. Be informed.
Time now for City Business News on Eyewitness News, brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan, make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Innosoff. Let's settle for the details. The Chamber of Petroleum Consumers has criticized the National Petroleum Authority over its decision to increase price floor for some petroleum products for the first pricing window in May. Currently, the NPA has pegged the price floor for petrol at 13.63 Ghana cedis per litre from the previous 13.02 Ghana cedis per litre, while diesel was retained at 13.07 Ghana cedis per litre. Price floor for LPG has also been increased from 10.52 Ghana cedis per kilogram in the second pricing window in April to 10.55 Ghana cedis per kilogram. Executive Secretary of COPEC, Duncan Amoah, reacting to this development in a City Business News interview, bemoaned its impact on consumers.
We would need to ask the NPA, because clearly, if you have a mixed window where petrol goes up, diesel comes down, and then you decide to increase for petrol, I mean rightfully, but diesel you maintain, what you're telling the market is that where it goes up, go up, but when it goes down, just keep it at that. It's just not good enough. And we think that that whole discussion will have to be situated properly so that the consumer does not end up rather being fleeced with the explicit supervision and tacit approval of the regulator in a deregulated environment.
Duncan Amoah is the Executive Secretary of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers. The Trade Union Congress is challenging the government to address what it terms the worsening conditions of the ordinary Guinean worker. The group is also demanding an improvement in the general state of the economy, which is exacerbating the cost of operations for businesses and employers. Addressing the May Day parade, Secretary General of the Trade Union Congress, Dr. Anthony Yao Ban, said the government must work to alleviate workers from the current economic hardships.
In fact, too many workers still suffer from wrongful terminations and dismissals. In the last couple of years, we have seen that many workers lose their jobs without any justifiable reason. Some are not allowed to exercise their constitutional right to form or join trade unions of their choice to protect their social and economic interests. In fact, now it's becoming difficult in some enterprises to form a union. And many more workers are even denied justice in some disputes with their employers. Wages are so low in especially some private sector institutions and public sector institutions. They are so low. You know, and you wonder how the employers who pay these salaries feel. Because of the low wages, many workers retire and they earn very low pensions. And the pensions are so low that they cannot meet even the very basic necessities of life.
Dr. Anthony Yaba is Secretary General of the TUC. Chief Executive Officer of the Association of Ghana Industry, Seth Chum Akwabua, has emphasized the pivotal role packaging plays in determining the competitiveness of products, especially in the context of the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement. Seth Akwabua also stressed the importance of incorporating sustainability principles into packaging practices. Addressing manufacturers, the AGI CEO highlighted that while the agreement opens doors to free trade, success in the market hinges on the quality and presentation of products, with packaging playing a crucial role.
The competitiveness of your product significantly also depends on the nature of the packaging material you have. Today we are talking Continental Free Trade Agreement. The doors are open, quota free, duty free to any African country of your choice for the various products. But then being able to compete in the market depends on the product you are presenting, and packaging is key part of it. And therefore, as businesses, we have no choice than to adapt the right packaging materials so that we can have the best to showcase and be competitive in the market. While talking packaging, whilst talking business, we are very mindful of the sustainability angle to business.
Chief Executive Officer of the Association of Ghana Industries, Seth Chum Akwabua there. The Ministry of Works and Housing is ramping up efforts to tackle the myriad of challenges plaguing the real estate sector in Ghana. One of the major concerns highlighted by the ministry is the failure of many developers to deliver the promised accommodation to their clients even after payment has been made. This failure not only undermines trust in the industry, but also deprives individuals of the benefits they should rightfully enjoy from the real estate sector. Speaking at the inauguration of the Office of the Real Estate Agency Council, the Minister, Kujopo Nkrumah, expressed commitment to addressing these issues and ensuring greater accountability and efficiency within the sector.
Too many of our citizens are being subjected to pain and disappointment by developers who do not deliver what they promise, even years after taking your money. Too many of our business people are struggling with clients who have taken possession of properties on the other hand and are playing games when it is time to make payment. The resulting effect is that the industry isn't growing as well as it should. And on the other hand, people who should benefit from the services of the real estate industry are opting out, instead choosing to build over a period by themselves with the attendant difficulties. In our quest to close the huge housing gap in Ghana within the next decade, it is opportune to have a properly functioning real estate market where most of the houses that are to be delivered to close this gap can be traded. The commencement of operations of this organization is therefore key in our quest to reduce Ghana's housing deficit, and that is why we are keen to operate and to open business for operations now.
You heard the Minister of Works and Housing, Kudu Opon-Koma, there. Now, Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Ghana, Dr. Albert Njibwesiako, is encouraging the civil service to be more open about digital transformation. According to him, leveraging emerging technologies has the propensity to promote growth. Speaking at a public lecture themed as part of the events to commemorate the 2024 Civil Service Week, Dr. Albert Njibwesiako further charged the service to safeguard their devices against cyber attacks.
It is very difficult for that to happen by virtue of the way cybersecurity works. Certainly not on the seabed, because that cable, in order for cybersecurity to happen, you have to have a presence of the internet protocol.
Mm.
Within the cable infrastructure itself, the only place that they have any IP-related things going on is what we call the cable landing stations, where the cable land.
Mm-hmm.
But even those, they use it for management. For the cable itself on the seabed, there's no IP related place for anyone to hack.
So, but if you know that cutting it shuts down countries, that's a bargaining power.
But that will not be
considering
a
that we have piracy happening on the, exactly. on the West African coast. There could be targets in that.
Exactly, but that will not be a cybersecurity. There could be a cybersecurity event at the cable landing. But if that will have occurred by now, we will have gotten a solution to that.
Dr. Albert Njibwesiako is the Director General of the Cybersecurity Authority, Ghana. That's all for City Business News on Eyewitness News. The business news on Eyewitness News is brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan, make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Ino Sofo.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
This is Prem Blanc on Eyewitness News. My name is Umaru Sandamadi. Tonight on Prem Blanc, we are joining the president and all workers of Ghana to celebrate the May Day. Today, the president went for the May Day celebration. He was in the company of his vice. The Inspector General of Police, Dr. George Okufo-Dampare, was there. He was given an award by the workers who celebrated his work ethics and performance so far. After the award ceremony, or actually before the award ceremony, the president delivered a speech in which he talked about a number of things, including Dumsor. Let's listen to him.
It is with great honor and pleasure that I stand before you today, express the heartfelt appreciation of the Ghanaian people and their government to the hardworking men and women across all sectors whose dedication and commitment drive our economy forward. That is why we celebrate you on May Day. From farmers tilling the land to health workers, healthcare workers on the front line of healthcare delivery, from the teachers shaping young minds, to the artisans crafting our infrastructure, from the workers powering our industries and utilities, to those supplying our public services. Each one of you plays a vital role in shaping the present and future of our nation. Your resilience, perseverance and unwavering spirit are the bedrock of our progress, and for that we are very grateful. It is in admiration of and gratitude for these significant contributions to the growth and development of our nation that I have, since my assumption
of office as president in January 2017, attended every May Day celebration, even at the height of COVID-19, when the celebration was held virtually. As we approach the upcoming elections in 2024, it is imperative that we recognize the crucial importance of maintaining peace and stability throughout the electoral process. Elections are the cornerstone of democracy, providing a platform for the expression of the popular will and for the peaceful transfer of power when required. However, they also have the potential to divide rather than unite, if not conducted in a peaceful and transparent manner. Indeed, the theme for this year's May Day celebration, Election 2024, the role of workers and social partners in securing peaceful elections for national development, underscores the pivotal role that each and every one of us has to play in ensuring that our electoral process is free, fair, transparent, and devoid of violence. Indeed, the destiny of the nation hinges upon the collective actions of workers and social partners to safeguard our democratic principles and uphold the rule of law. Ladies and gentlemen, Ghana's track record as a bastion of democracy and peace is an enviable one that needs protection. Our democratic processes have stood the test of time, especially under the Fourth Republic. We have undertaken so far 8 successive elections whose results have given rise to 3 peaceful transfers of power from one party to another since 1992. I am confident that on 7 December 2024, like in previous elections, Ghana will once again emerge stronger, more united, and more capable of developing, of advancing her development goals. Workers, as the backbone of our country, have special roles to play in shaping the outcome of elections. Your voices matter, and your participation in the electoral process is essential to ensuring that the concerns and aspirations of working people are adequately represented in our governance structure. I urge you to exercise your civic duty responsibly, engage in informed discourse, and cast your vote for candidates who espouse policies that promote inclusivity, equality, and social justice. As social partners, an important part of your role is to defend and uphold the ideals of the Constitution. Workers should continue to act with utmost integrity, professionalism, and discipline in the run-up to the elections. The political season should not unduly polarize us. Elections are about making choices from available personalities and policies. The fact that we have different preferences should not make us enemies. We are brothers and sisters who will continue living together in the only country that God has given us even after the elections. We must remember that despite the high stakes in previous elections, we exhibited a great deal of political maturity in navigating the challenges we faced. various governance and security institutions proved their worth and demonstrated independence and resilience in demanding times. Our capacity for securing peaceful elections ahead of the 2024 electioneering season was tested in 2023 when we conducted two by-elections in the Kumaru and Aceh North constituencies, and again yesterday when we conducted another peaceful by-election in Edjeso. These by-elections have signaled our preparedness for peaceful elections in 2024. Government is confident that the peace that characterized these by-elections would also manifest in the December polls. Government, through the National Media Commission and in collaboration with various other bodies, is scaling up mechanisms to combat hate speech and the dissemination of fake news, misinformation, and disinformation campaigns ahead of the elections. These events have the tendency of inciting violence to mar the peace we are enjoying. Government will not leave any stone unturned as we intensify campaigns on the See Something, Say Something. This initiative, an all-inclusive whole-of-society campaign, encourages citizens to report suspicious activities to the security agencies. Fortunately for us, social partners and workers are well-placed to report any suspicious activities to safeguard the peace and security of the country. Fellow Ghanaians, under my leadership, government has resourced and reformed various governance and security institutions to be efficient and independent and ready for the discharge of their duties. In the wake of the global current economic and social challenges, it has become even more imperative to pay closer attention to happenings in the country and within the region. Despite these challenges, we must remain steadfast to overcome emerging threats. Securing peace is not only necessary for the electioneering campaign, but also vital for the stability of the labor front. A peaceful and stable labor front will create a conducive environment for government to implement its policies and programs and for the economy to grow. Government hereby reiterates its resolve to address the concerns of labor in the interest of national development. The upward adjustment of the base pay by 23% in the first half of the year and by 25% in the second half of the year is a demonstration of government's commitment to improving and protecting public sector incomes. This is being done to signal the importance government places on the welfare of workers. Chairperson, Secretary General, though today marks my final day, my final May Day address to organized labor as President of the Republic, having served by January the 7th, 2025, the constitutionally permitted allotment of 2 terms of 4 years each, I want to assure you that this, however, will not be my last encounter with organized labor. In the coming months, there will be a series of engagements with organized labor aimed at promoting peace, stability, and social cohesion. personally, I look forward to interacting with you once again at the second edition of the National Labour Conference, scheduled for sometime later this year. Such occasions offer unique opportunities for representatives of government, employers, and organized labor to have dispassionate discussions on accelerating economic growth for national development. This is critical, and I'm happy that the conference is high on the agenda of tripartite constituents. Ensuring peaceful elections for national development also requires government to strengthen the policy, legislative, and institutional framework of labor administration. Since becoming president in January 2017, the support, cooperation, and collaboration I have received and enjoyed from organized labor has been nothing short of extraordinary. During challenging times, organized labor has shared the burden of government and made sacrifices that ensured recovery and stability. The least I can do for the over 11.5 million people in the labor force and the next generation is to enact a new Labor Act that is comprehensive and contemporary and protects the interests of all actors in the world of work. It will be the most concrete act of gratitude on my part to the leadership and members of this generation of organized labor who have proved to be so responsible in their stewardship. In so doing, let me use this platform also to applaud the sterling, brilliant work of the person I consider the greatest minister for pensions, employment, and labor relations in Ghanaian history, the Honorable Ignatius Balfour Awia, the Member of Parliament for Sunyani West. Mr. Minister, Ayiko, without doubt, labor issues are some of the most topical and important issues in any country. Such issues touch on the standard of living of the populace, businesses, as well as individuals and family welfare. It is for this reason that I'm happy to announce that my directive for a new labor law to be enacted has been largely carried out. I can say with certainty that with the cooperation of Parliament, the new Labour Act can be promulgated before the end of this year. I'm aware that organized labour and employers are playing very pivotal roles in this, and I commend you and them for that. Government is also providing state-of-the-art infrastructure for labor administration institutions to enable them deliver effectively on their mandates. This includes the procurement of some 60 motorbikes and 17 pickup vehicles to enhance the mobility of labor officers. Furthermore, 16 new public employment centers are being constructed, and some 40 others will be renovated across the regions to give enhanced visibility to and encourage patronage of the Labor Department's activities. Currently, work is progressing steadily at project sites in Yendi, Damango, Wa, Bogatanga, Achimoda, Odumase, Trifohimai, Konongo, Takwa, Atebubu, Wale Wale, Dambai, Hohoi, Bibiani, Kenyasi, and Amasamai. Through these investments, government will strengthen its early warning systems to detect any potential conflicts or labor disputes that may arise.
That's President Akufo-Addo speaking at the May Day celebrations in Accra, ending tonight's edition of Eyewitness News. My name is Umaru Sanda Amadu. I did this with Endo Safo, production by Kobna Wilson, Beverly London, and Sami Wiafi. Desmond Nyaku assisted us on the technical side of things, and the new media side of things was supported by Edwin Kwakofi. We'll be back tomorrow at 17:30 GMT. Thank you for listening. Happy May Day to you.
City News. We speak first. Reach our hotline on 0302-224959 and get interactive on Facebook, City 97.3 FM, and on Twitter at City 973.